Well, you know, I've been away on sabbatical. Ministerial sabbaticals take many forms these days, as often as not the traditional study time, whether at an institution of higher learning or independently. I've heard of ministers traveling to Unitarian groups around the world or going to church all over the place to study worship. Those two got a book out of that study. One minister I know stayed at home mostly, but went to a few Alban Institute workshops on how to do church better. What I did was answer a call to build schools in Central America, Honduras specifically. 10 years ago, at a Canadian Unitarian Council annual conference and meeting on the May long weekend every year, this year it's in Thunder Bay, I heard a presentation by a Unitarian about a project he was working on with a Canadian nonprofit society out of Waterloo. It's a combination of development education and development work. Take a small group of Canadians to Central America, specifically Honduras or Guatemala, and show them how the locals live. Have them actually help build a school or house. It's development when you give them a hand up. It's development education when you take inexperienced North Americans and show them what it's like to live in a developing nation and how the lives of real people can be improved by relatively small investments made in the right place. Richard Kirsch spoke about building cement block houses and very small one or two room schools for tiny villages in Honduras and Guatemala. I'm not sure why it attracted me, but I knew instantly I wanted to do that sometime. I had no idea when it would fit into my life. It's taken me 10 years to get here. I've seen Richard and spoken with him at CUC meetings since then and recalled my interest each time. Funny thing, though, when the time came to decide what to do with my sabbatical time, all I could think of was that little canoe trip I did. The right thing to do with the rest of my time eluded me. That is, until I happened to talk with my friend Elaine Roberts, who was helping to sponsor a construction build, that computer lab, in memory of her late partner, Jack Allen. Suddenly, I remembered that call to build. Could I join you? I asked. How could I have forgotten that I wanted to do this? I found traveling in the third world very discomforting. I was not comfortable. The extreme poverty is so evident, so very evident everywhere. Houses there are not built as well as we would build a barn. Rusty tin roofs, mud walls seem poor shelter to me, especially when the hurricane comes. They are lucky if their floors are concrete. Streets are often not paved or even well graveled, so they are muddy. I see decrepit cars in the lanes and carts pulled by horses on the four-lane highway. Their clothing is not as good as my work clothes. I wonder how well they eat. My Spanish is less than rudimentary, so connecting with them is difficult. I become so aware of how much I have. I have a good house, a job, regular meals, more food than I really need, right? I have opportunities for travel, all the things that money in excess of real need and the knowledge of how to use it can provide. I am truly very fortunate. I feel guilty for all the material wealth I have and that they don't. I can't do anything about that, can I? Wait a minute, that's what I went there for. To change that disparity in some small way. I need to remember what Margaret Mead said. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. I'm part of that small group now. I went to Honduras to expedite the education of a few children, not a lot, a few, but so they could make choices in their lives, so they would have a better life. A few Canadians, you folks among them, have gathered up some cash, about $9,000 for each school, And we've traveled to Honduras to see what's happening, to assist in building a simple classroom. I was able to see firsthand how the nonprofit agency World Accord works and see that it's accomplishing what it says it does. The major volunteer, Al Wygood, was very concerned that we would count his efforts as worthy, as not wasting money. Very much that is the case. I helped with two different builds. One was in the village immediately adjacent to the headquarters of the Programa de Reconstrucción Rural, which looked to me like a farmyard campus with a medical clinic building added to it. It had a mechanic shop and cattle and pigs and goats, plus a few sheep, plus a couple of buildings people could stay in. One was the former clinic building. That's where we stayed. The two Canadian volunteers who head up this project stay for about 5 months each year there. Al Wygood and Jens Schroenrank make this program happen. They liaise with both the PRR, that local nonprofit, and the villages, the folks in the villages, and they organize the materials needed for the construction. Richard Kirsch is the Torontonian who gets us there and recruits volunteers at the CUC meeting each year, and now he's recruited me to help with the recruiting at the CUC meeting. Don Al is the one who got this all started some 20 years ago. He has fixed up an older adobe house on the PRR grounds, and now there's a family living in it with him. Griselda, the woman of the house, does the cooking for all of us gringos. It was quite good, assuming you like rice and beans and plantains and fruit. And yes, there was some meat too. This next-door village of Orkanchito is lucky to have a very nice 6-room elementary school built only a few years ago, compliments of a resident Canadian philanthropist. He has also built a high school for the little town and a trade school adjacent to it. Most of the residents there farm small plots of land, growing beans and corn and keeping chickens and maybe a few goats. There are cattle around too. There is so very obviously not a lot of anything extra. Their tools are very simple: a wheelbarrow, shovels, a much-worn heavy-duty rebar cutter, trowels. Hammers and plumbob are shared around. We brought 3-gallon buckets from Canada to haul cement with. Somewhere for the first build was found a cement mixer. Wood for the forms was precious and shared around from one building project to another. The second build, a kindergarten, was in the tiny village of Los Laureles, over an hour away up in the mountains, in coffee country, by rough gravel roads. We drove there each day, riding in the back of a pickup the same way the locals do. Their school was only 2 rooms, with 2 teachers sharing 1 classroom and the kindergarten in the other. There are about 30 desks in that not very large room, half facing one direction and the other half facing 90 degrees differently to the other blackboard. The desks were in poor shape. I picked one up and it sort of fell apart. There was 1 small cupboard for materials. The book of photos and pictures that Joy and the children made and sent with me were well received. Thank you to Yuta for helping with the translation. The computer lab and classroom in Orkanchito were not quite finished, and we had to leave at the end of January. The metal rafters and roofing needed the skilled welding of the foreman, not the many hands we supplied. I do assume it's completed by now, though. They needed it. School started the week we were there. The smaller classroom up in the mountains was completed by us in less than 10 days of work, with wiring for the 4 light bulbs, and 4 receptacles, and hooked up to the older building's electrical supply. Metal windows and doors were installed. The village has had power only for a few months. All that remained to do was a bit of backfill under the floor, and then the concrete floor could be poured, and the local people will do that. Each build is a cooperative effort between the locals and Canadian volunteers. The town first requests a school project and commit to helping construct it, much like any grant application we might apply for. We saw many, many different local people as we built the computer lab. We had a bigger crew than usual, and they provided more community support than is usual. They even put on a fiesta for us at the end. 4 hours of speeches and folklore dances, exhibitions, and finally we got to eat. It was very evident that they were appreciated our contribution. Yes, the computers will be hooked up to the internet. There was applause when that was announced. We met a young woman being sponsored at university by several Canadians connected with World Accord. Like so many 20-year-olds, she's not quite sure what she wants to do with her life. Just getting to university, she's already attained much more than the usual 6 years of school. Her English is coming along, too. It's gratifying to know that for her, at least, education is making a difference. She has opportunities, choices. So what have I made of this hiatus from Beacon? While I was in Honduras, I wondered if there would be something dramatic happen that I would suddenly have an epiphany. If it did, I didn't notice. I found it hard to communicate with my so rudimentary Spanish. I felt the cultural gulf immensely, and I was not sure how to bridge it. I think what did happen, though, was a kind of spirit building. It was a long, slow kind of build-up. Ask any runner or hockey player, you don't learn how to do it in a moment or a day or even a week or 5 weeks. It takes years to build up the skills and body conditioning to play hockey or run a marathon, even a half marathon, David. And there can be setbacks. My running took a break last summer, and I've yet to get back to it. One excuse after another. My conditioning, my physical conditioning, is going in the wrong direction. My spiritual work, though, I think is on the right track. I am more grateful than ever for my situation in life, my family, my work with you, with Beacon, the ability of my body to do the things that I want to do. I was pleased I was able to haul around the heavy concrete blocks and buckets of concrete, but humbled by the physical contributions of volunteers 10 and 20 years older than I was, whether Canadian or local. I hope I'm able to do as well 10 or 20 years from now. I'm humbled by those who go in a build every year. That's their holiday. And especially I'm in awe of the two primary volunteers, Al and Jens, who spend close to 6 months every year there. They each have partners. Al is 79. He can pick up and lay blocks above his head, over the string. I can build up a block to here. He talks to his wife every day on the cell phone. It's cheap, especially if you buy the cards down there. Has his time away changed the way I do or think about things? Their way of life, their difficulties are so much more concrete in my mind now. The pun's not intended. You guys are a little slow. Having seen it firsthand, I understand so much better now the page of information about PRR that World Accord has on its webpage. It all makes sense in a way I could not comprehend before I actually saw it. I have been developmentally educated. I've gone to kindergarten at least. Am I stronger in my faith? Or is it my faith that draws me to go in the first place? Certainly it was the example of others who have gone that prompted me to consider this. I wouldn't have known about World Accord if Richard hadn't told me about it, if Elaine hadn't reminded me of it. Elaine is 72, I think. She's been on 5 or 6 builds now. I see so much more clearly how providing education is an honoring of an individual's worth and dignity, our first principle. Going to Honduras for 5 weeks, or even 2 weeks, which is the usual build length, is a big step, like entering the Sun Run or a marathon, perhaps. But one doesn't really need to do the whole big race to obtain benefits from the exercise. The training would be sufficient unto itself. I will contribute money towards more builds in future years. However, the act of actually entering the race, signing up to go to Honduras, is an additional motivation to finish the preparation, to go the distance. A former World Accord participant I called for information was less than enthusiastic about this kind of project. It's cheaper just to hire more local help, he said. I wish I'd had the presence of mind to ask if he continued making contributions. Presumably, he had raised or paid funds to cover not only construction materials, but his way south and his room and board while he was there. I know I was more motivated to contribute considerably to the project, knowing I would be going. I've been asked, would you go again? Would I recommend it to any of you to go on such a trip? Going south in the winter is very appealing. Going south in the winter to a resort is not, to me. Some people like that. I'm not good at sitting still. The first week of January was chilly there, but after that it was very comfortable, even to be working out in the sun. To my mind, this is a much better way than many to spend a winter holiday. Not only are the logistics well taken care of, you know that your time there makes a difference. And so, yes, I would recommend that any of you do it, as long as you're able to do stuff. In the last week and a half, I've discovered that a group of Unitarian Universalists from Pennsylvania were in Copan, Honduras, very shortly after I was there. They were helping Heifer International build homes for some native Chorti families nearby. And as it happens, this minister who went is a colleague of mine. I've known him briefly. They gave a service on their trip, too. One of the participants who went with them, Terry Smiley, had this to say. I was proud to be in the company of my fellow Unitarian Universalists who lived their lives with generosity, passion, and courage. We weren't on a mission trip. We are on a mission life. And I know that all of us and all of you will continue to live out our mission wherever we are. Blessed be.